Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tell you what, Audrey, there isn't a hotter ticket in Pittsburgh, besides Hamilton, of course, than tuning into Tech Vibe Radio. I mean, come on. If you have your choices, you're either going to take those tickets or you're going to listen to Tech Vibe. And from what I can tell, most people...
Are you going to Hamilton?
No.
Why not?
How could I get tickets? That's why I'm listening to Tech Vibe Radio tonight. Okay. I've got no other choice. You've been relegated to listening to Tech Vibe Radio because you do not have tickets to Hamilton tonight. And that's okay, because we're going to be way more fun than Hamilton. We could sing if we wanted to.
We could rap.
We could rap if we wanted to. But, you know, we don't want to give it all away just the introduction of the show, so you're going to have to keep yourself tuned. Actually, Audrey, so you know what? Over the holiday break, I did a lot of interviews in our new podcast room at Nova Place.
Mm-hmm.
So excited. You know, last night we just broke in with our new studio and our new office with our open house we had last night.
Right.
Very exciting.
Really?
And so we recorded a bunch of different things over the past couple weeks. Had some great guests stop by, just getting some podcasting on our belt. And we're going to play those interviews tonight. But I'm glad you got to join me for this intro, because I was flying solo, Audrey, when I did these things. You were zooming around the world in different places, different locales. And it's kind of weird when I'm doing Tech Vibe without you at my side. So,
yeah, well, I'm back.
And you're back. So, Audrey, this week was a pretty cool week for you.
Well, I actually did a like a fireside chat interview.
Yeah.
Kind of slash speech at the Professional Convention Management Association.
That's like PCMA, also, right?
PCMA.
That's how I know them.
And
as
they came to Pittsburgh for like 3 days, four
big
days,
deal.
Like 4,000 people.
A lot of people in Pittsburgh.
Came. They came from all over the world. It was interesting to see all the booths, by the way.
Yeah.
Seeing the booths, like Austin had a booth and Chicago.
Oh, really?
And, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they were giving stuff away, but I didn't have enough time to hang out there.
Was there a picture of like long antlered?
No, it was hipper. It was
okay.
Hipper. No, it was much
making
hipper
sure
than that.
It wasn't the...
So they're all in town. This is their professional development. This is also their networking, and this is also their educational.
Ah.
So they're here. Pittsburgh is the backdrop.
And they went in
their hometown is Chicago, so that was cool. I got a chance to talk to people who had never been to Pittsburgh before, and they were from Chicago. A lot of people had never been to Pittsburgh, so I imagine the town really reaped the benefits. And I had a chance to talk about innovation, building innovation in a city that's sort of resurrected or rebranded themselves.
Giving some of the Pittsburgh tech story.
A little bit.
Okay.
It was really more hands-on. Like, how does that work? How do you move a region? What does it mean to move a region? How do you...
Yeah.
What are some of the variables? You know, of course, people are like, well, you know, don't you just follow the recipe of Silicon Valley? I'm like, no.
Never. That's the worst recipe in the world.
It's the worst recipe.
It burns in the oven.
No, but it doesn't even match. It doesn't even match who our assets are.
Yeah, we can't even try to do that.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So that was great. Good conversation. I had a great moderator. Her name is Holly Ransom, and she's out of Melbourne, Australia.
Whoa.
And she actually Holly Ransom actually interviewed Obama.
Crikey. Really?
Yeah, she did Obama. I was like, wow, this is sort of cool.
And then you.
And then me. So
now her career is complete.
Yeah, right. She was great. She was a great moderator, actually.
Okay.
She was a great... You
so
know,
what kind of questions was she asking you?
Well, she actually is more provocative. She was asking questions, you know, about, you know, things like, what do you do to attract startups here? And I said, why would I want to attract startups here? We want to attract bigger companies who have a presence here.
Yeah, startup shmartups, right?
Well, no, I said we have startups that are building their own ecosystem, and they're that's who we want to support.
Right.
We don't necessarily need to attract
them, right.
Like attract them here. I mean, obviously the Hardware Cup attracts people here.
Yeah.
So that was sort of funny. And then she also talked about what it's like to have all these different stakeholders across a region.
Hmm.
And, you know, and I gave her a little bit about my bio just coming into Pittsburgh.
Right.
And sort of being the dark horse, so to speak, and what it was like being welcomed here and what that might look like. And people from other cities actually talked about that.
That's
like
awesome.
Houston, Toronto,
Houston.
Talking about, yeah, you know Houston.
I know Houston.
That's Jonathan was baby there or whatever. Absolutely. Mid mid-elementary school?
Home of the Derry Ashford Roller Rink. Where I learned from the mean streets just what it meant to be 12 growing up, but I digress.
Right. So, Houston. But people were from all over the world.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And, you know, so people from California, people everywhere, and they were just interested in this story of resurrection and what kind of innovation is occurring here. So that was cool.
That's an honor to be able to do that.
Yeah, it was.
To tell that. So you're like the representative of Pittsburgh's tech industry saying this is how tech is growing in Pittsburgh.
And here's one of our issues and what our opportunities and what's happening at the global level and national level that, you know, certainly will impede or assist our ability to move forward.
Absolutely.
So it was very cool. I was very honored to be there. And I was very stoked that so many people came to Pittsburgh, particularly in January when it's so warm out. It was so warm out.
It
used to be the joke.
Week,
remember,
yeah.
Jonathan? It's like you're having that convention
in January
in Pittsburgh. Stop.
I know.
We cannot do that.
You gotta stop talking about the weather.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
exactly. It's so boring.
It is. It's passive.
It's so boring.
It's
right.
Like, it's like saying it's inexpensive to live here.
Right.
Okay,
who cares? It's not.
It's actually, I'm thanking God it's getting a little more expensive to live in Pittsburgh because that just means one thing. My property values keep going up.
Exactly.
I like that.
Exactly. So that was great. My hat's off to Visit Pittsburgh. That's quite a feat to come off pulling that off. It was at the convention center.
Yeah.
There were lots of people there. There's lots of moving pieces and parts. So Visit Pittsburgh is a good partner of ours.
They are, absolutely.
And I was very excited.
So glad they invited you to do that.
Yeah, it was great.
So, Audrey, everything you talked about is on tonight's show. You realize
everything?
That. Pretty much. We have a nice little slice of everything going on. So tonight, Audrey, I interviewed Joel Reed from IM Robotics. They actually received one of the bigger investments last year, $20 million, to scale that company. All about, you know, being able to do robotics in the warehouse, which is obviously Pittsburgh is so well known for its robotics industry. And one of my favorite companies, BlastPoint, Allison Alvarez.
I know.
She is super rad. That's all I can say. Man, talk about if there's
a
problem.
You have a work crush on her?
I think I might. I'm just saying, man. She knows what she's doing. She's wicked smart. She's hiring people, and she's making analytics easy and actionable through big data, which I think is just fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then, Audrey, guess who else is stopping by the show tonight?
Who?
Someone who you know quite well. One man, Justin Driscoll.
Ooh,
from Tech
he's coming
Elevator.
By. Wow.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
Wow.
So I let him stop by again. Told him there were conditions.
You let him.
I told him there were conditions, though. There were conditions. He had to be, you know, on his best behavior. Because we know how Justin can act up sometimes, if you know what I mean. You know, Justin's one of the nicest guys ever.
On this planet.
He
makes you look like a criminal.
Dude, I am a criminal compared to Justin.
He really does.
Absolutely. But I'm so excited for Justin because he's leading up Tech Elevator here. They've been graduating cohorts of...
It's been fabulous.
Yeah. And so for cohorts of folks that are learning computer programming skills and getting jobs, good high-paying jobs... Not just the jobs, but the fact that we have employers here that need people in these positions. So we're kind of solving many problems at one point here, Audrey. People that need skills, companies that need skilled people. What's not to like about this?
Good times.
Yeah, so they're going to detail more with what's going on, Audrey. So I think, anyhow, I'm glad you're back in the studio with us doing what we're doing here and looking forward to more Tech Vibe Radio in 2019 because we have so many cool stories to tell.
And looking forward to doing some cool stuff out at Nova Place.
I know.
Where we're located now. So excited to be in the North Side.
Look for tons more podcasts around all types of fun stuff around tech in Pittsburgh. Lots of verticals. We'll be diving in deep on a lot of this stuff. We'll be promoting it a lot on the show and we'll tell people to go to our website at pghtech.org and start learning about all the great things making Pittsburgh be the cool city that it is. But not always so cool in January, though. It gets warmer here in January.
It's been great.
I digress. Anyhow, we're taking a quick break. We're coming right back. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
And like we've always said, we're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Go to pghtech.org. Fly on over to Twitter, at pghtech. So much stuff going on. More Tech Vibe Radio coming right your way. I swear. So glad you're listening to Tech Vibe Radio tonight. Always a pleasure to bring you the best and brightest of what's making Pittsburgh's technology sector pop. Not just the tech sector, but the tech sector is making all of Pittsburgh pop as far as I'm concerned. And one of the big pops we had back in 2018 was when IM Robotics landed a bit of investment to really scale things up. And it was, I think, one of the biggest investments in robotics in Pittsburgh, if not one of the bigger VC deals in Pittsburgh in general across all industry categories. And that's IM Robotics. And we have Joel Reed here with us, the CEO of IM Robotics. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight, man.
Hey, Jonathan.
And congratulations on the big raise.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's a big deal to raise that kind of money. And, you know, that is not an easy task.
It's a big deal for us. It's a big deal in the robotics space and for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I would say it definitely puts Pittsburgh in this position where people start noticing these types of investments here and they realize that there are these types of companies. There's that kind of deal flow here.
Yeah.
In Pittsburgh. So that's just very exciting all the way around.
I think it's also a good sign when something like that is just another news brief.
And it becomes
rather than being the decade story.
Decade story, right. Exactly. I think that's a really cool way of looking at it. But we're really proud of you guys because, I mean, that's what you need to get to that next level. Before we kind of dive into what you're going to be doing, we need to let our listeners know about what you're doing now
yeah.
and how you're going to be scaling that and growing that with this $20 million that's been put into the company.
Okay.
And then first off, who is Joel Reed, of course?
I mean, I've been in the tech sector, as you know, for a long time. Actually cut my teeth in robotics with Seagrid, which is an existing company here in the area doing well. And that's where I really got to understand autonomous robots in warehousing environments. And so I connected with IAM's founder, Tom Galluzzo. We have been in touch over the years and started a little over a year ago,
right.
primarily in sales and marketing, but quickly the founder saw an opportunity to begin scaling the business and asked me to step into the CEO role.
And that became that was your job then to kind of start looking at those term sheets and start looking at the terms and conditions and who would be the best investment for the company, right?
Tom's been raising money,
okay.
Mostly from angels and small institutional investors. And in 2017, put together a concerted effort to go after a serious Series A round. I early on was supporting that effort, but through the transition, moved into the CEO role.
Gotcha.
And I think it's an important story, and I give Tom a lot of credit when you have technical founders.
Right.
To scale, it's not that individuals can't do all of this stuff.
Exactly,
but,
right.
But it makes a lot of sense to focus in core areas of strength and allow other people to be able to enable that scale. That's what I was able to provide.
I love it. When the peanut butter and the jelly come together, you get a great sandwich. As simple as that. So, no, I
exactly,
love it. I love
yeah.
it. So tell the listeners about IAM Robotics. Because, I mean, I'm just fascinated by robotic technology and the fact that these things are out in warehouses making people's lives a lot simpler, making things safer. Tell us about IAM.
Yeah, so Tom founded the company in late 2012, early 2013. He and another co-founder, Vladimir Alton, were working at NREC, so the National Robotics Engineering Consortium. And they were entrepreneurs at heart. And they were looking for markets where the advanced technology that they were working on for perception, robotic perception, manipulation techniques, where they could apply that, where the biggest and earliest opportunity was. And they actually were pulled into the marketplace. They met a customer that was experiencing severe labor shortage issues. They had turnover rates of 40 to 60%.
Oh, my. Yeah, you can't exist with those kind of turnover rates.
And this is actually representative of the entire market, not just in the U.S., but it's a global
problem. It's a global thing. Okay.
It's a global problem, yeah.
Proof that robots need to do jobs that people don't seemingly want to do, right?
Well, this is the big difference between my time 10-plus years ago at Seagrid and now with IAM Robotics is that then it was about efficiency and reducing cost. Today, it's an imperative to bring robots in. What's happening is that tens of thousands of baby boomers across the world are retiring every day, and at the same time, younger generations have many different opportunities in front of them in terms of work with working for Uber and Lyft and other businesses like that.
Absolutely, right,
The gig economy. And they grew up with electronic devices all around them, immersed in their lifestyle. And so they're not interested in going to work at, 1 a.m. Being told by a computer just to walk through a warehouse and
exactly.
pick individual items.
Makes
so
sense.
We project that by 2021, there'll be a shortage of about 1 million workers in this space in the U.S. alone. So really the only answer to that is automation.
It's automation at that point.
Yeah. And manufacturing industries have been automated for a long time, and the warehousing industry is now just starting to embrace
a
lot
curve,
of this.
Right.
That's correct.
So tell us how, I guess it's the Swift system that you guys have that
so
automates
so Tom and Vlad invented a fully autonomous robot that actually both transports and picks individual items in warehouses and manufacturing facilities. So it takes its instructions from a software system, goes out into the storage, and can actually go to an inventory location, visually identify the item it's been asked to pick and then pick that, and either do that for an e-commerce order or to pick by batch for retail deliveries to retail stores.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And I just think about especially the rise of the Amazons. Everyone's going online to buy. I mean, retail is huge. The market's huge.
So that
automation is needed. There's people that can't do these jobs, that don't want to do these jobs. When they do, they turn over in 3 or 4 months, and so they're always training somebody. So you have something you program at once, and it's just going to keep going.
Yeah. So think about it this way. We as shoppers going into retail stores, we spend about 40 billion hours a year shopping in grocery stores, in malls and other kind of retail.
Just 40 located. Billion.
Just 40
just
billion.
Just 40 billion,
Now, as we stay home and we put that order through an e-commerce platform, somebody has to actually do that selection. And so we're moving the work we used to do in stores into warehouses and fulfillment centers.
Gotcha.
And actually, that requires more material handlers at a time when there's less available.
Exactly.
So there's this enormous gap that we're addressing.
And which I find just so exciting, reminding our listeners, we're talking to Joel Reed from IM Robotics. And so this $20 million investment now, you can start scaling. This is exciting. Before we came on air here, you were telling me that we're going to be adding a lot of people, and not just I'm talking crazy engineers and really high end positions and looking at some new space. Tell us about how you're going to be scaling up in 2019.
Yeah, so our goals are to scale within the customer sites where we are today. We have many opportunities in our pipeline, so we're going to scale the deployment of the number of robots that we have in the field. And so this requires and also we want to round out our total solution that we're putting into the marketplace. So this requires increasing our engineering team from a product development perspective, adding folks like product managers, and then building out a team of folks that supports us in the field. So deployment engineers, service folks, so on and so forth. We're over 20 people today. We're looking to double that growth by the end.
Just double it.
Double
it. Oh, my goodness.
Double that number by the end of 2019.
I hope you have a good HR person.
We're working on that, actually, and that's one of our open positions. But
we need to hire someone to hire people.
In the next 3 months, we have at least 10 software positions,
wow.
2 to 3 hardware positions, and then your classical business support positions. So I encourage folks to go ahead and take a look at our open positions that are posted and keep watch.
At iamrobotics.com.
Yes, that's correct.
iamrobotics.com. Go there and check it out.
And we're also listed on ZipRecruiter and some of the general search engines as well.
How exciting. I mean, this must have been a crazy year to go through that process. And the $20 million raise, so that came from outside of Pittsburgh?
That
what was
correct.
The source of that?
Yeah, it's a family office with locations in both the Bay Area and New York. So we spent a considerable amount of time talking to investors here regionally and on both coasts.
Well, I mean, everyone here, most of our VC comes from out of the region. Is this the first time this VC has invested in a Pittsburgh company?
Yes, that's true.
Very cool.
But what we're also seeing is we're seeing a lot of coastal investors that are coming into Pittsburgh. So some of our existing investors now realize that there are amazing opportunities here.
Love it.
And our existing investor in this last round is also starting to take note.
I love it because by you having success here, it opens doors for the other companies around here as well.
And well, we want to drive the region's success, but we're also a product of the region's success.
Exactly
it's all
right.
happening at the same time.
Fantastic stuff. Mm-hmm. Once again, go to iamrobotics.com, learn all about it. Couldn't be more proud of what you guys are doing here in Pittsburgh, Joel.
Thank you, Jonathan. Really appreciate it.
Awesome, awesome stuff. Hey, we're taking a quick break, and we are coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting from the Pittsburgh Technology Council, and you can learn more about us by going to pghtech.org and head on over to Twitter at pghtech. So glad you're spending your Friday night with us here on Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting from the Pittsburgh Technology Council, making full use of our new podcast facilities, as they say, here in Nova Place, our new headquarters. 2019, we're just kicking it off. Couldn't be more excited to be bringing you really the best and brightest interviews of what's happening in Pittsburgh's technology sector. And we're bringing back our friends from Tech Elevator. You guys were on probably about 6-7 months ago, just coming into Pittsburgh, helping people get super valuable IT programming skills. Really, I mean, talk about the jobs that are needed now that are in high demand. bringing skills and knowledge and talent to the workplace. And we have Anthony here from Tech Elevator. You are the CEO, correct?
That's correct.
You actually said we're coming to Pittsburgh.
I did indeed, yes. I have been coveting this city for quite some time, so
exactly.
I'm very happy to be here.
And then you stole and you plucked away our very own Justin Driscoll, our old talent guy here at the Pittsburgh Technology Council, to lead up the operations. And we couldn't have been happier because we knew you picked the right guy for the job, because no one knows talent better than one Justin Driscoll. So, Justin, you're hanging out with us.
Hey, Jonathan. Good to see you again.
It's good to have you on the other side of the mic with us. I think it's very, very cool. Absolutely. So, first off, Anthony, quickly, give us the quick pitch about Tech Elevator and tell us why you chose Pittsburgh. And then we're going to get into nuts and bolts with Justin about why Pittsburgh's working, what's happening. And really, I know you've had some great success with your first cohort and getting people into the workplace already. I mean, the model's working.
It's
I love it.
Hey,
so, Anthony, I give it to you.
All right, great. So, the mission of Tech Elevator is to elevate people, companies, and communities. And we do that through an intensive software developer training program that takes individuals who are non-technical but have strong aptitudes and puts them through a 14-week program, ultimately producing a junior developer at the end of the program. We're headquartered in Cleveland, but we've also got locations in Columbus and Cincinnati and most recently Pittsburgh.
Are you planning other locations after Pittsburgh, or is Pittsburgh like, we can't do any better?
What is there after Pittsburgh? Life after Pittsburgh?
Exactly.
It's just not possible. No, we are. The fundamental philosophy of the company is that we believe in the latent potential of talent in the Midwest. We believe that there are hardworking, I'm sorry, I should say the Rust Belt. There are hardworking individuals in Rust Belt communities who have been sort of bypassed for a number of decades now in terms of sort of the active modern economy. And if we can identify those individuals, if we can help them acquire valuable tech skills and connect them to opportunities in the modern economy, that's great for our regions. It's great for attracting companies to our regions, and it's a path for reinvention for the Rust Belt as well.
That's what it's all about, and that's why we're excited that there's outfits like you in town, because we see the need in Pittsburgh. So many companies that need this talent, and it's not there. And we see talent that needs the skills, and they don't know how to get it, and you're making it in a way you can condense it down. And they said, 14 weeks? You
it's
walk out
week
ready
program.
To roll. As far as that goes, you can become a total geek and nerd within 14 weeks.
I think there's a little bit of geekness and nerdness that happens beforehand. It's sort of a prerequisite for the program.
You just bring it right out of them, then. You make sure it's in full force as far as that
amplify.
Goes.
Amplify.
Absolutely.
It comes to the surface.
Very much. So, Justin, we've got to talk to you about what's been going on in Pittsburgh, because rumor has it you just graduated the first cohort probably about a month or so ago. Is that correct?
Yeah, graduated the first class actually at the end of August, and we had 13 graduates, and all 13 of them have been hired and are working in various companies across the Pittsburgh region. So we have 13 students graduated in the first class, and now our current class has 27 students.
Whoa.
So we saw
back up. So you
doubled the number of students who were interested in becoming software developers.
That is so cool. So with 27 in place, how many students can you actually process and teach and amp up over the course of the year?
Well, we try to keep it to a 1 to 12 student ratio with our instructors.
Okay.
So we have 3 instructors. So in theory,
you can do 36.
Yeah, you can do 36.
Well, then you're slacking. You have empty slots. Anthony, Justin is slacking right now.
He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do.
See, Justin, I'm here to make you look good.
Thanks, Jonathan.
You're welcome. I thought I'd just let you know. No, so this is pretty interesting. So 36 people going through. I mean, that starts filling a lot of slots.
So we should graduate over 100 students in 2019.
That is tremendous.
So it's good growth. It's the plan has been working. You know, start smaller and then step up to 27 and then step up to 32
in
January.
You can't just jump into one big number, because there's a ramp up on
but
this.
But the demand for this talent is huge.
And exactly.
So we've seen great employer support, companies that are believing in Tech Elevator, believing in these students, and in many ways adjusting their hiring practices and adjusting their internal policies and procedures to accept students that they would normally probably never get a, take a look at.
Exactly. Very, very interesting. So, Justin, what have been some of the key things that, what are some of the key types of people that have been coming out to this? Like, who are you seeing? Is there a typical student, or is there like a unique story behind each one of these students?
There's a unique story behind each one of them, which is actually my favorite part of working at Tech
right.
Elevator is meeting these individuals who are coming to us with such a variety of backgrounds. Some of them, average age of the student is about 30 years old. We've seen people as young as 19 and into their 60s.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's what I think is so interesting is we're getting a lot of folks that are even beyond mid-career. You reach a certain point where you're like, I've had 30 years of this. Yep. Maybe I want to – I've always been interested in programming. I always wanted to dabble, but now's an opportunity to kind of get the skills.
Often it's people who are very self-driven, very motivated. They have been teaching themselves things all their lives.
Gotcha.
They've been dabbling in tech a lot of times. 65-ish percent have bachelor's degrees. We see people from the retail background. We see people with bachelors of philosophies, music backgrounds,
wow.
teachers.
Okay.
It's really an eclectic background.
But so there's hope for me then.
There's hope for you, Jonathan.
I like this.
There's hope for you, Jonathan.
One day I might just sign up for Tech Elevator.
Yeah.
I might
it's
write you guys a check
2.0.
And be like, look, I'm leaving all this behind.
I think that's the one characteristic that binds them all together is
right.
they are very motivated, very driven individuals to make a very drastic career change. Because if you think about it, coming into a program like this, they're not software developers.
Right.
They're not viewed in the eyes of an employer as a software developer or someone who could even remotely be a software developer because their background has not afforded them that label, if you will. And so they come here and they lean upon the technical training. They lean upon what our reputation is in the marketplace for good, high-quality people coming out of our training program. And they really trust in the process and work with our instructors and work with our pathway program, and they come out on the other end with a job. It's really an exciting program.
I mean, you're making an impact on people's lives, and you're also helping the employer. So it's kind of like this win-win situation. So Anthony,
I'd like to add one more win to that.
Yeah,
it's a win-win-win. So
okay.
the people win because they're really activating their potential and getting great
right.
careers. The companies win because they've been seeking to acquire talent and struggling to find it. But the economy wins.
Exactly.
The community wins overall because, again, as we're looking at reimagining the city and fulfilling its potential, it's going to come from a proliferation of digital literacy and skills in the market. And so we have the ability to do that. And as Justin's talking about, with those graduation rates, you know, this town will determine how big we can get, but we're very much on track to graduate 100 students out of the program next year. And to give you some context,
yes.
you know, the National Center for Education Statistics said that there are a little under 600 computer science graduates from the greater Pittsburgh area colleges. And it's been sort of reported that about 50% of those individuals will leave the city.
Well, that's a really right? good point because this is like a retention thing. You're actually keeping yeah. this talent here.
98% of our students stay in the market that they were educated in because these are citizens of the
right.
community.
They're invested here. A lot of them, their families are already here.
Kids in school.
Right.
Mortgages. You know, like
you guys
friends.
Are tricky like that. Oh, man.
So the community's got their hooks in. We're just activating them.
Exactly.
And, I mean, that's really exciting because I think there's so many people that are like, how do we attract more software developers to Pittsburgh? How do we attract people to Pittsburgh?
How do we turn current yeah. people into software developers as far as that goes?
Yeah. It's like, look at what you've got here already. Just understand that there are people in Cleveland and Columbus and Indianapolis and Pittsburgh and Milwaukee. They're all saying the same thing. It's cheaper to live here. Why are they all living in San Francisco?
Exactly.
We can attract them here. But if you build your own talent, all of a sudden you have some sustainability.
Very,
in the
very cool. That's why I'm glad Tech Elevator's around and you chose Pittsburgh as a destination to
do
this.
Oh, I love Pittsburgh. This is such a cool town.
You can always make your headquarters here if you want to.
All right. I'll think
yeah.
about it.
I think Justin's thrown his hat in to like lead it up.
Yeah. If I can just stand back, there's a beach I like even
exactly right. That's so cool. So we got a couple minutes left. So Justin, maybe just tell us real quickly, what are some of the key skills that people are learning as they're going through Tech Elevator?
So students are coming in. They're either choosing Java or to train on and learn Java programming or C# or .NET programming.
Okay.
And so and when they're leaving, they're typically leaving the program as junior software developers, titles like associate software developers, but they're typically viewed as an entry level developer.
Is there a particular pay range that you can expect when you have these types of skills?
The average salary we're seeing across all of our campuses and graduates is $61,000.
Not bad for just out of school.
Yeah. It's really it, well, you know, some of them are just out of school, but some of them are career transitioning as well.
But I look at it like you just have acquired this new skill set. Like you're fresh on the scene.
Yeah.
And to start out at $60,000, I'm assuming if you got the aptitude, you're going to grow that really fast.
Yeah.
You'd probably move quickly within those organizations because those organizations are growing and are going to offer opportunities. So what a cool way to get people the skills. To, you know, keep people local. Like you said, win, win, win. Three wins, not just two.
Oh, yeah.
Amping it up. That is just super fantastic. So people want to learn more about Tech Elevator, especially with what's going on in Pittsburgh. How can they stay up with what's happening here in Pittsburgh with Tech Elevator?
Well, they can follow us on social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. They can go to our website, techelevator.com. If they're interested in becoming a student, every student starts with our online aptitude test.
Ah, so you give them a little skill test to make sure that they got the right mindset. Exactly.
You know, dip their toe in the water. And then if they score high enough, they're invited to fill out an application and then come in and we'll talk with them through a student interview and
love
give
it.
Them a longer aptitude test.
Which
you need to take yet. You haven't taken that long aptitude test.
I'll pass that long one, man. That's no problem at all. I'll be in the fifth cohort kicking everyone's butt. I love it. I love hanging out with you guys. I'm so glad Tech Elevator's doing what it's doing. Great, great stuff. Hey, this is Jonathan Kirsten with the Pittsburgh Technology Council right here on Tech Vibe Radio. Hang tight. I'll be right back with more Tech Vibe. In the meantime, go to pghtech.org and learn all about the Pittsburgh Technology Council and how we love helping tech companies succeed. So glad you are joining us here on Tech Vibe Radio tonight. This is Jonathan Kirsten with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. And our last segment for the night, I always like to say we save the best for last. All of our guests are just so cool. And as I always say on this show, it's just I get to have way too much fun talking to the smartest men and women that are really making this industry pop. And someone that I ran across a couple months ago was Allison Alvarez from Blast Point. And we got to talking. She joined the Pittsburgh Technology Council. I was learning more about her company. I was like, please, 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 please stop by the radio show. You have an awesome story. We got to tell it to our listeners. Like, you are definitely one of the people that's making Pittsburgh a really, really cool city with what you're doing. So, Allison, thanks for taking the time to hang out with us here on Tech Vibe tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great, great stuff. So first off, Allison, like, I've been to your website. I look at your background, and I feel like I'm not worthy to be in your presence sometimes. Like, you have to be one of the smartest people that I know. You got an awesome background. Quickly, fill our listeners in about who is Allison Alvarez.
Oh, gosh. okay, so I was born in the Deep South in Jonesboro, Georgia. My mom is from the Pittsburgh area, so I say that I came back to the mothership when I met
gotcha.
Him when I moved here. My dad is from, he was originally born in Havana, Cuba.
Wow.
And I moved to Pittsburgh for Carnegie Mellon.
Yeah.
And you know what? I didn't think I would stay. And I think I just fell in love with the city.
But you stayed.
I did.
We have her. You don't. Other regions.
I fell in love with the city. The people are great. I feel like there are a lot of resources that might not be accessible to me in some place like Silicon Valley or
right.
New York.
Okay.
And it's just been a great place to grow a business. Honestly, it's been a great place to make friends and build and have a family.
Right.
So I'm really happy I'm here in Pittsburgh.
We're happy that you're here in Pittsburgh. We need 1,000 more of you. Simple as that. That's why I'm always like so pumped about like Carnegie Mellon and Pitt, because they bring folks here and sometimes they keep them here because they get them plugged into the ecosystem. And so, I mean, someone with your background, you've got multiple advanced degrees. You could do really whatever you want, wherever you want. And you decided to start your own company called Blast Point, which I think is a great name too. Really cool name.
Man, I never thought I would be here. So I was talking to my husband about 5 years ago where I was and where I am now.
Yeah.
And I was in a job where I didn't think I would ever get promoted. Right. My husband had just broken both his legs.
Both his legs?
Oh,
my goodness.
So I was driving him around and raising a two-year-old at the same time.
Oh, my goodness.
And something happened in my life where I decided I needed to go back to school. So I applied to the Tepper School of Business at Carnegie Mellon.
Mm-hmm.
They were really generous, and they gave me a full-ride scholarship.
Wow.
And even when I wrote my essays, I was like, I'm going to go work for the man. Maybe one day I will start a business. But the entrepreneurship folks in the Swartz Center, I don't know if they saw something in me, but they were like, we have to get that girl.
I like it. Okay, very cool.
So I got encouraged to take a lot of entrepreneurship courses. I started Blast Point in one of the classes.
It's a classic Pittsburgh story. I like it. You're saying all the right things.
Yeah, I guess it. And I never thought this company idea, it was just an idea at first, would ever go anywhere. And you know, we won the McGinnis Venture Competition, and I was like, oh, okay, maybe that's a thing. And
maybe
then
we have something here, right?
We spent almost like 8 months after winning just talking to customers, just finding anybody who would talk to us. We talked to over 100 people, just making sure that it was a viable business. My business partner quit his job. And even then, I was like, I don't know if this is ever going to be anything.
Wow, okay.
So we got into Alpha Lab. Still, I was like, well, it's just wishful thinking to think that this company will ever be anything that can support me.
Yeah.
We won the UpPrize competition. So a lot of what we do is supporting nonprofits and help them basically use data to tell their story and win grants. And so we built a lot of software around that, which was sort of our first big foray into our first product line. And then like a year ago, my co-founder and I sat down and we were like, we've heard a lot of things from customers. We took a month and we built two new products, and we were able to charge like a very little money for our first product. But for our second product, we were able to charge literally 20 times as much.
Wow.
And we haven't looked back. And I was like, oh my gosh, we know exactly what we need to do now. We know who to sell to. We know how to sell to them.
Yeah.
And just in the last year, the company went from being something, you know, where I just quit my job, I just sort of leaped into the air, to something where I'm like, okay, I can see myself doing this for as long as I want.
We
have employees, so when I go on vacation, things still get done.
People can cover it, and all that kind of good. Wait a second.
Like, everybody who works with me is awesome. They're so much smarter and more precise than I am. I appreciate them every single day.
Awesome. So BlastPoint's a great, cool company. I can't even do justice to describe what you guys do. Tell our listeners, like, in a very digestible way, the power of BlastPoint and how you bring data and analytics to companies of all kinds and types, which I think is what's so amazing. You cut across everything because we all need data, right?
Yeah, I think it's one universal. I also think one universal is that a lot of people aren't comfortable with data.
No, we're all afraid of it.
Yeah, numbers are, you know, I have to admit that like math was always something that I really struggled with up until I got into college and something clicked. But before that, I found it to be, you know, just something that I thought was just a chore. And it was really overwhelming. And so when I started building data systems, at first I was, you know, in my career, I was building them for researchers. But like the longer I stayed in the industry, the more I realized that the people who were really underserved were the salespeople.
Exactly.
And some salespeople, the really good ones, they love data. And those are the people I wanted to serve, but they think differently about data than nerds do. And so it took me, you know, a long time to just hang out with people enough and sort of understand what's in their brains.
Gotcha.
And so our whole system is designed around being able to manipulate data but not have to sink yourself into the numbers.
Exactly. Well, you make it very presentable. You make it very visual so you can easily interpret and see what the data is saying.
Very visual.
You get it off of the spreadsheet and into like an infographic almost.
Yeah, or you can draw on a map to get information.
You do great heat maps.
Yeah, you can click on a bunch of things. We have tons of point data so you can know down to the household exactly what's going on with the people in your footprint. You can know who's comfortable with computers, who isn't. So if you're going to do some sort of Facebook outreach, you're going to know which households you're going to miss with that.
Absolutely. Just reminding our listeners, we're talking to Allison Alvarez from BlastPoint. So Allison, tell us, like, give us an example, like, of how you were able to help companies, like, find new customers or know where they should open a new business. How you find them actionable data. And maybe, I know there's some ways you can do it where there's very disparate types of companies that are all kind of looking for the same thing and you'd never guess it.
Yeah, it's true. It happens all the time. So our philosophy is called same river, different water. So we build the same software for everybody, but we know even if you're in the same industry, you might want different data than, say, someone else who's doing something really, really similar. And so the whole point of our system is to be able to pull the data in and out and have it just match exactly what your needs are. So our customers use it for things like finding new customers that match the profile of their best customers. Peoples Natural Gas is one of our customers.
And that's so cool. I mean, having a customer like Peoples Natural Gas, that's a serious customer right there.
Yeah, but they're really forward-looking. They think a lot about serving their customers and how to use data for that. So they use us for things like, for example, looking for customers that are already within their pipeline. So they dig up the minimum amount of roadway, figure out where to lay their next pipeline so it's the most economically feasible.
Wow. See, that's
project.
So interesting. I mean, that works on so many levels, and how your data is impacting the quality of people's lives. It's helping more efficiency. Like, that's so neat. I love it. Very, very cool.
I'm enjoying how you're nerding out about this.
This is great. It is awesome. I'm serious. It's like these are the types of problems that Pittsburgh companies are solving, and that's why we're just so proud to be able to say, no, check out BlastPoint. This is what they do. And if people go to blastpoint.co, they can also really some cool visualizations and read some great case studies as to how you solve these problems.
Yeah, we've got a ton of information. If you're a nonprofit, please don't hesitate to reach out. What we've been doing for this year, we've made enough headway and revenue that we've been able to start offering our product to free for nonprofits in town.
No way.
So yeah, prior to that, we charged you guys, but
that's okay. Yeah. I think it's probably a very fair price for the powerful data that you're getting in return. But
yeah,
being able to offer that to a nonprofit though.
Yeah, so we've had nonprofits use our data for things like figuring out how to find kids for their daycare program. They've used it to figure out their utilization in the region. So are they reaching everybody that they need to reach? We've also had nonprofits use our data for things like appealing to the people in their own neighborhood that, hey, we need to have a recovery center for people with opioid addiction. You know, something that a lot of people, you know, might object to having in their neighborhood. But, you know, with the data, you can see that this is a really big problem, even just within that limited footprint. And,
definitely.
And not only that, is it's, you know, these problems are increasing over time.
So, so interesting. And the last time I checked, we're not creating any less data anymore. So much more data is being created every day. And that data is only actionable if you can understand it and interpret it. And that's where your secret sauce comes in. You're able to pull that data and make it create answers based on what people are looking for.
Yeah.
So cool.
I think one of the things that we do that's really special is everybody has data, but it might be limited data that doesn't quite give you all the information you need.
Okay.
So a lot of our customers, you know, the really lucky ones, they know who their customer is, their name, maybe their address.
Right.
They might know they almost certainly know what they bought. But that might be it. And one of the things we can do is take other sources of data and we can tell you, okay, here's their family status. Here's how comfortable they are with using computers. Here's the wealth level in their household. These kinds of products are bought by people with these profiles. And so if you need to appeal to people, have outreach, you're able to use the right words and only bother people who will even have a remote chance of converting.
Very cool. I mean, that is just absolutely transformative for a company, knowing that they can apply the resources where they need to go based on the data that you're providing them. And so a bright future for you guys. I hear you guys are in hiring mode. We've got about a minute or so left, and you got a great work environment. You're all about flexibility. You being a very busy person with raising a family, you know the importance of having people be able to kind of flip around. Tell us a little bit about that, and we'll wind this thing up.
Sure. So we're hiring. I work really hard to make our company a great place to work. Retention's really, really important. So we're looking for people who are interested in a flexible work environment. So we make our hours flexible so that if you've got obligations, you can be there for school pickup, or if you're, you know, trying to remodel your home, you can work from home, or you can have specific days that you have off and work on the weekends instead. We are looking specifically right now for help on the sales side.
Gotcha.
So we're looking for
cool. Yeah. You know, getting some non-technical people in there.
Yeah.
Start selling the stuff. I love it.
My co-founders handled all the sales up until now.
Right.
And we need someone to help us fill that funnel and keep it going. So if you're interested in that, we'd love to hear from you. We're also hiring for front-end development. We add to our development team, so you will not be alone.
Very cool.
We have some really brilliant developers working for us who are just doing amazing things every day. And, you know, if you're interested, please reach out to us.
Super exciting. BlastPoint.co. And they
can
learn
right.
all about you there.
That's
Allison
right.
Alvarez, thanks for doing what you do. So glad to be profiling you here on Tech Vibe Radio. All out of time. Everyone, please tune in every single Friday night for more stories like Allison's here happening here in Pittsburgh. This is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org and then have an awesome weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.